Well, yeah, as we think about Dad, and didn't really hit me until I saw my two boys walking down the aisle. And I remember those days. I remember those days of me walking down the aisle and giving a piece of candy to Dad. And I don't want to get emotional. I haven't been emotional about this at all today, and actually this weekend. But being in the house that Dad loved, it changes the whole things. But you know, with Dad, you know, there's things. I was talking to Mr. Kenny. This was a couple weeks ago, or probably a couple months ago. But you miss with your dad, and again, I speak for all of you all. One of the things I think is so interesting to me is I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden I'm like, Dad, there's no way you're not here. You know, it sits back in. Does it ever really, you know, I think about others that have lost their dads, they ever really get to that point where you're comfortable and you're okay with him being in heaven, and I'm glad he is, but you just, as you think about it for yourself, but as I was telling Mr. Kenny, I said, the things I miss are the little things. You know, Dad would come by and say, hey, man, your yard looks good, you know, or your truck looks nice, or just the little things in life that he would come and just kind of tell me. And as I was thinking about this, thinking about Keith this week, and I know Dad, when Keith's dad passed away, Dad wanted to try to fill any void he could and just be a friend. That was just that Keith came to mind, but there's so many others. But as I talk about Dad, you know, the thing that I probably remember the most, Mom was reminding me of this this week, and the thing that probably I remember the most and hopefully inspires us or inspires me the most was Dad's will and his willpower. And I thought, you know, one of the Mom showed me pictures, I think it was last week. One of the things I used to like to do when I was 3 or 4 years old was I'd like to sit by the window and wait for Dad to come home. That was just something I liked to do. And so as I thought about that this week, you know, one of the things that Dad, as he got closer to his home going to heaven, which is a great thing, but as he got closer, one of the things he wanted to do was make sure he got out here so that Jason could see him when he drove by, dropping the kids off for school, and just his willpower, his desire to do what God had for him. And you know, as I thought about it, and as we got to share Dad with you all, and couldn't think of a better group to ever want to do that with. But his willpower I thought about that as those were days that you all were going through things, or through trials, or through troubles, or through a specific time in life, and he would make himself. He'd be up here, and he'd be praying at the pew. He'd be praying up here for you all, and many of our church members do the same thing, but he'd be praying, and he'd be on his knees early in the morning. He'd be in his study. John Mark and I knew where to find him. He'd be in his study. We'd come by the house, and we'd come in there, and I knew I could go right upstairs. That's where he was. But his willpower and his desire to do what God had for him. And you know, as I was thinking about that this week, I'll never be Dad. Brother John Mark will never be Dad, but one thing we want to do is to make him proud. And I think one thing I'd love to do is to have the willpower of Dad and to keep this church in the same direction and to keep this ministry going and separated from the world and being a place to come where you can get away from all that stuff. And as I think about his willpower, it kind of inspires me to try to be a leader. And one thing about Dad is everybody met, and he taught us this, everybody you met, you treat them and you love them just like, it doesn't matter what their problems are, what their situation is, but you treat them the same and you try to bring them to Christ. And as Mom said about a big I love you, and that's he just was really his will to go on and to continue and even at the end, his will to continue to please and try to be there for his son. And so anyway, just there's so many things you could talk about, and you all have stories as well. But I would say this, that's the thing that sticks out, and hopefully the things that drives me to the to do something for Christ each and every day, and hopefully drives you all as well, was Dad's will. And I knew this, if I can make Dad proud, then I know God will be happy. And I know God will be pleased, because that's what Dad wanted to do. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. And it says this, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, thank you for Father's Day. Lord, and Lord, I was blessed. And Lord God, not everybody has the same story, Lord God, but I had a wonderful, wonderful father. And Lord, Lord, I couldn't think of, Lord, a greater group, Lord, of people to share my dad with than this church family, Lord God. And man, he loved this church family just like he loved his children, and would do as all of them know, Lord, would do anything and everything for them. And most importantly, would get on his knees, Lord God, and talk to an almighty God about each and every one of their lives, their families, their trials, their problems. And Lord God, I pray we do the same. I pray, Lord God, that as we pray for her church family, each and every one of us, that we pray for each and every one and lift each other up. And Lord God, because that's what he did. And Lord, that's something we lost, Lord, when he went to heaven. But Lord God, it's not something we can't fill the void of. Lord God, and that's our job and that's our charge, Lord, is to continue to lift each and every one up, Lord God, in prayer. And Lord, may we have that willpower, Lord, to always, Lord, do for others. And Lord, was taught so wonderfully by my father. And Lord, I tell you, a lot of fathers, I look out, a lot of fathers I learn from here that have gone on to heaven as well. As I talked to even Nick Palifka this morning, Lord God, by text. And Lord, his dad, I remember his dad coming out here so faithfully, Lord God, on Saturday nights. And Lord, so many other sorts as we through here, Lord, I could get naming, Lord, I go through all of them. Lord God, each and every one, Lord God, that made an impact, a father that made an impact on my life. And Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord. And man, what is so needed in our homes today, our fathers, our good fathers, our fathers that lead, Lord God, not fathers that are perfect, because none of us are perfect, but Lord God, fathers that lead and lead in the right way. Lord, we thank you for this place, Lord, the one and only Heavenly Father that we have. Lord God, where would we be without our Heavenly Father? Lord, this week, as I got on my knees, Lord, and prayed, where would I be without God? Where would we be in the life struggles, all the stuff we've got going on? And Lord, as the Bible says in Ephesians, we have access to God the Father. And Lord God, may we take advantage of that. Lord, it would be sad to have all of this at our fingertips. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We have access to an almighty God. We don't even use it. Lord God, it's so important to make sure that, Lord, as we think about fathers, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, and pray, Lord, that we'd use that we get on our knees, and he'd take the place of all the different things that we struggle with. God, be with the service this morning. Thank you for fathers. In Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Thank you, Brother Jason, and man, just thank you again. And I thought as he was talking, and even during the prayer there, I look around this room, man, I start from the front to the back, and we've got those who all over in between who've lost their dads. Their dads are in heaven this morning, and upstairs, man, just a lot. There's a lot, and obviously a lot as we get older, but even my age younger, who've experienced for years what we're experiencing for the first time today. And so I know you could get up here and talk about your dad for a long, long time and what he's meant to you. And so thankful for the dads who have really paved the way in this place for us in this church and then in our lives. And we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me again say thank you for the music. Appreciate, ladies, the music this morning. And again, where our schedule's a little different and trying to get everything straight. So thank you for that. And then, and Josiah, appreciate that on Father's Day, doing that offertory. Did a great job with that. And, you know, it just, again, you think about Dad and it all encompasses. I got Josiah playing Dad's not here. Brother Philly's playing Mr. Willie's song, and they're up there together listening to that and singing and excited about that. And so thank you for that this morning. All right, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to just take this one verse. We won't take a lot of time this morning. We spent a lot already, so it won't take a lot. But verse 11, that's where we're going to start and pretty much where we're going to end. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. This is the only time here in the New Testament where this phrase is used. And so, you know, this morning as fathers, as a father, the Bible tells us in Psalms that children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And God has blessed us with the children that we have. I'm so thankful that God has given me four wonderful children. And man, they're just such a blessing in my life. And as a father, you read this verse, and as you read that last part, it tells us this. What's mentioned in the first part of the verse is what's expected of a father. This is what a father should be. This is not just, well, boy, if you try, no, this is what is expected of a father. And really don't have this, again, in the New Testament. A couple times, in fact, we'll mention one place in the Old Testament here in a little bit, where it sort of mentions the same type of phrasing. But this is expected. So for us that are fathers today, here's what's expected of us with our children. And again, as we mentioned, Dad already, I think about these things and what Dad did in my life and how he exhibited these. The father is supposed to be and should be the head of the home. And the Bible tells that in Ephesians. It says we're the husband is the head, even as Christ is the head of the church. And that's what we're supposed to do. And by the way, our country needs salvation more than anything else. People need to get saved, and that's what will make changes. But it also, along with the salvation, it needs fathers who will be in charge. That's what needs to happen. For the homes in our country to be better than what they are, and for the children to grow up and learn how to respect authority, how to treat people right, how to conduct themselves in the right way. What we need more than ever before is fathers who are in charge. I tell you this, in our home, there was never any doubt who was in charge. It was not because Dad came in every day and said, I'm in charge. He didn't do that. He didn't come in every day, and to be honest with you, you can talk to the family here, thinking how many times did Dad raise his voice to us. Now, there were some times when he was stern with us, and there was times where he was very, very firm, not only with his voice, but also with the ruler. So we got some firm treatment from him. But there was never a doubt in our home who was in charge. And we need that more than ever before. But I thought about, as the head of the home, here are some responsibilities, Dad. You have three of them quickly. And we're done, starting in verse number 11. It says, as you know how we first of all exhorted. Dad, you are supposed to be, number one, head exhorter. That word exhort means to encourage. Head encourager. I started thinking about my dad and encouragement. Did he ever encourage anybody, all right? And that's what he did. That's what his life was about. I know for us, head encourager. And to encourage your children, dads, it's your responsibility to encourage your children. I thought about these things. Encourage them to compete. Encourage them to compete. You know, encourage them, and when I say compete, that means to try to do something. Now, I'm not just talking about some sports competition. I'm talking about working towards accomplishing something. I thought about it as Josiah was playing this morning. I was proud of him playing. Proud that he wants to use that for the Lord. But, you know, More than being proud of him getting up here, is I'm proud of literally hundreds of times I've heard him practice that at home. And that's what I'm proud of, that he takes time at home to do that, and that he wants to try to do this. And God gave him that talent to do it, and that's great. I have zero talent in that area. So I can't even sit up here and say, man, I'm so glad I taught him all that. I didn't teach him anything on that, all right? He did that. And so you look at that, but what I want to do is this. I want to encourage my children to try to do things, all right, to put forth an effort. And that's one thing that Dad did in our home. He encouraged us to do that, to not sit. Man, we have a lot, unfortunately, in homes today, we have a lot of children who are sitting around doing nothing. And we need to encourage them to compete, encourage them to get out there and to do something and to try to accomplish something. Obviously, first of all, for the Lord. Part of that, and this is something Dad was great at, is we encourage them to compete. That means you be there for all of it. And Dad, we knew Dad was going to be there. And Dad, as the pastor of the church, had a lot of responsibilities, especially as we were young and growing up. And boy, just things going on all the time. And yet, if we were doing something, he was going to be there. If we were doing something,
He wanted to encourage us by being there and being a part of it. And I know, listen, everybody has different situations. It doesn't mean there wasn't one time where you had, I'm sure there was a time where you had to miss something because there was a death in the church or something happened. I'm sure that happened, but I'm talking about he made a point to be there and to be an encourager to us
and be there, encourage them as they compete. And listen, tell them you're proud of them.
They need to hear that. Tell them you're proud of them. You don't have to tell them, listen, say, what I do, I'm a dad, and I went and I watched him do this, or I listened to him do this, or saw him do this, and he did a terrible job, all right? He messed up, man, it's awful. You know, he played a bad game, or he messed up doing this. You know what you do? You just tell them you're proud of him. Because again, it's not just, boy, you know what? If you try to do anything in life, we'll talk about it in a minute, you're gonna fail at some point. But you want to encourage them and realize how important that is for them.
Teach them. Teach them at home how to win and how to lose. Try to do that with my kids. And Dad did that with us.
Dad wasn't much into sports as far as playing sports. He would watch stuff with us and obviously enjoy coming out. We did. But you know, teach them how to. He did teach us how to win and how to lose. Hey, I'd rather win, all right, and not have to worry about learning how to lose. But you need to learn. Your children, they need to learn that to have the right spirit and the right attitude when they win or when they lose. And to teach them, boy, that
joy of competition, of doing something, trying to accomplish something. I thought about this.
We went 3 years ago. It's about 3 years ago. And we went, Brother Jason Barrett and I went, and we took our elementary age boys up for track and field competition against several other schools. And it was just elementary age, so it was 4th, 5th, 6th. And it was the first time we had done it. So we drove up there 2 hours away, and they competed in all this track and field stuff. There were 16 different competitions, and they gave first, second, and third place for each one. So for those of y'all who are good at math, 16 times 3, there's 18. Carson, you got this, 48, all right? 48, all right, good. So 48 different ribbons that they gave out, all right? 48 ribbons they gave out. We did the first 15 competitions. There were several schools there. And so through 15 competitions, 45 ribbons. Our school had gotten this many, all right? Zero, no ribbons. We get to the last race, the very last race, and it was a relay race, all right? Relay race, so you got four guys going around, and there were four other schools besides ours, all right? So I'm doing this in my head. I'm thinking, okay, this is our last chance. There's four other schools, so we have to beat two of them, all right? The problem, of course, was the same ones we were running against were the same ones that had beat us in all the individual competition. And so, obviously, if they have guys that are faster than that, they're going to have guys that are faster than this. So, anyway, it didn't like us work. So, the very last one. So, they start running around the field there doing it. And so, I'm watching. And we get from the handing off from the third to the fourth person. And for us, Josiah happened to be last. And so, they're handing off to him. Well, as they did the handoff, one of the teams that was much faster, in fact, they were well ahead of us, all right? One of their guys in the last exchange dropped the baton, disqualified. It's awful. I felt bad for them, all right? He's disqualified, all right? So then I see the other, because there's one school, it's like, you know, they haven't done real well either. We may can beat them, but we were right. So they got the baton, and so those two, Josiah and the other guy, they're together. We get to last, and then the last few yards, he just barely gets ahead, and Josiah gets it, and we get a third-place ribbon. We went up there all day. Man, spent all day running around in the heat, hours, to get one ribbon out of 48, all right? But you know what it was? They left so excited, right? Man, and we told them, and listen, they had gotten zero ribbons. We're still proud of them. But to teach them, hey, you go out and compete and do the best you can, that's all you can do. You may be male athlete of the year, or you may get one ribbon out of 48, all right? That may be all you get. But you teach them that and encourage them. Teach them how to win, how to lose. Encourage them. Encourage them when they fail. And one of the things Dad taught us, don't quit, all right? He'd say, get up here, how many times to say, man, Jason, tell us, we don't only own a white towel, all right? Don't quit. Man, encourage your children. Keep going. Keep going, of course, for the Lord.
You know what your children need, Dad? They need somewhere to go when they mess up. They need somewhere to go when they mess up. Because they're going to fail. Doesn't mean they're all going to be in jail one day. But they're going to make a mistake. And they need to have somewhere to go when they mess up. And that's what I remember Dad telling us. He wanted the home to be a place where, boy, if the whole world's against you, you can go home. And you can be there and be an encouragement to them. Be the head encourage. Encourage them, of course, when they accomplish something. Make a big deal out of it. And by the way, here's what you got to be careful of. I know for me as a parent, here's what you got to be careful of. When your child accomplishes, we don't have much trouble making it a big deal to other people. All right? Yeah, let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you what they did. How many of y'all have been tired of hearing about what this person did? Here's what my kid did. Here's what they did. Guess what they did? Guess what they got on a report card? Guess what they did? That's fine, and we talk about that. But make it a big deal to them. Make it a big deal to them. Hey, spend a lot of time talking to them and encouraging them and saying, hey, man, you did a great job. You accomplished. That's wonderful, man. Keep it going. Don't quit. And make it to them. Instead of, I've seen this happen with parents. Boy, they tell everybody else about it, but they don't say anything to the kid much about it. Hey, encourage them. Say it to them more than to others. Encourage. So number one, head exhorter. Number two, in verse number 11, and you know how we exhorted and comforted. Number two, head comforter. Now, we don't necessarily think of that for Dad. Look, when our children stub their toe and start doing that dance they do around the house when they do that, or when they hurt themselves, they do something outside, they come running inside, they just fell off the bike, they skin their knee, whatever. They run right past me, all right, and they go right to Mom. So we understand that. But I do think it's important for us as Dad to be head comforted. You know what comfort? How comfort comes? First of all, it comes with security. Hebrews 13:5. Jesus said what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Your children need the comfort of being in a home where there's the security of Dad being there. You know, I didn't worry about a whole lot when Dad was at home. I wasn't worried about if the doors were locked, if everything was secure. I knew Dad was going to handle it. Whatever came up, he's going to take care of it. I had that security. And no matter what would happen, no matter where we were, and we had different things. I won't go into all the stories, but boy, the comfort, that security that's there, that knowing Dad's going to be there. The comfort that comes with authority. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. Why? For they watch for your souls. You know, there's a comfort in having an authority over you. When I got married, and then we had our own home. And now with our children, as I mentioned, boy, when I was at home, I didn't worry. That security, Dad was going to take care of everything. Now, checking the doors, trying to set the alarm, because I'm thinking, man, what if something does happen? I can't call Dad anymore. I can't do it. But that authority, that comfort that comes with authority, and to know that authorities, that they're in charge, that they're ready to take care of that, they need that comfort, they watch for your souls. And then we'll just turn to one of the scriptures real quick. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 3. Blessed be God, 2 Corinthians 1:3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, any tribulation, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. You know, we're supposed to comfort those that are in our care just as God comforts us. And it tells us in that passage, God comforts us. Why? So that we can be a comfort to those, our family, to our wife, to our children. That comfort that comes from love. And so make sure we're the head comforter. And then number 3, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted, head exhorter, encourager, and comforted, head comforter. And then number 3, and charged every one of you. We're supposed to be head charger. Not like John the Baptist, all right? Head on a charger. That's different.
All right? This is head charger. This is the one
who gives the command, who gives the charge. And by the way, I won't turn there for time's sake.
Proverbs 3:11-12 was one of our memory verses for school here recently.
But it says that we're supposed to, it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord.
And it tells us this, that whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Part of the charge, responsibility we have as dads to charge our children is to chasten them. Hey, Dad, it shouldn't be the mom's taking care of the discipline all the time. It should be that Dad takes on that responsibility. They're not perfect with this, and I know I'm not perfect with this in my own home, but it should be this, man. Dad steps up and says, hey, listen, hey, son, you don't talk that way to your mother. Hey, you don't treat your mother. Hey, we're not going to behave like that in this house, and where Dad steps up and takes care of that. And not just mom, well, I'm too busy. No, you take care of it. No, it's Dad's responsibility. And I can tell you this, if I was to go in volume, all right, and you were to, we won't do this for time's sake, all right, and count up the number of spankings I got. But if we were going volume, then moms, the list of moms spanking me would be a whole lot longer than the list of dads spanking me. But if we went on quality for quantity, boy, I tell you what, we know which one it would be. But so it doesn't mean that Dad was just there. No, but I tell you what, when Dad was home, he took care of it. Hey, you know what? So because that's the responsibility of the charge that we give our children. And make sure we take care of that. And then part of that also is a commanding in the charge. Head charger. That means taking care of the chastening and taking care of the commanding. Last scripture and we're done. Go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. I love this, this passage here in 1 Kings. David's about to die. And he calls Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2. He wants to give him some instruction in verse number 1. It says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son. Verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. The first thing he says is to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, keep the charge that God's given you, follow his word. And then he goes through the rest of it, and he gives him instruction on how to deal with people. You know, David gave a charge to Solomon. It's a responsibility. Hey, Dad, it's your responsibility to charge your children. In other words, to command them, to direct them, to guide them in what they're supposed to do. And it starts with teaching them the Word of God. And that's great that mom spends some time with them and teaches them Scripture, and they talk about the Bible. That's great. But, Dad, it's your responsibility to give them to teach them what God's Word says. It's your responsibility. Head charger. Hey, the one in command that says, this is what we're going to do. By the way, the one that sets the standard in home. Hey, here's how we're going to live. Hey, we're not allowing that in home. That needs to come from Dad. Hey, Dad, it shouldn't be that your wife has to be telling you to turn that stuff off the television. Let me stop here for a minute. Shouldn't be that mom has to say, hey, you don't need to see that. We don't need to see that. The kids don't need to see that. No, it should be Dad saying, we're not having that in here. That's what it needs to be. Because you have a responsibility. You're in charge of teaching those children the Word of God and what God's Word says. And it shouldn't be, boy, what's Dad looking at on his phone? No, it should be Dad saying, no, we're not having that junk in here. Hey, we're not listening to that music in here. Hey, it shouldn't be mom having to say, Dad, hey, turn that music down. You don't want the kids to hear that language. No, it should be Dad saying, that's not allowed in this house. Because Dad should be the one setting the stage, giving the command, giving the charge according to the Word of God. And look at, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Why do all this for the children? You're supposed to be the head exhorter, the head comforter, the head charger, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you.
to teach our children to walk worthy of God. Hey, let me encourage you, fathers, this morning. Be the head of your home. God's given you that responsibility. And boy, our world needs to see that more than ever before. That there's a home where, and by the way, not lording it over, man, I'm in charge. No, just saying, listen, I won't be the head exhorter. I won't encourage more than anybody else. I won't be the head comforter. I won't be the head charger. If I could think of anybody that was an example of that, it's my dad. The encouragement, the comfort, the commanding. Hey, we're not going to do it perfectly, men, but boy, that should be what we're striving for. Be the head of our home. Not just, boy, well, I can make the financial decision, or I can say, no, I'm talking about when it comes to spiritual things. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to encourage more than anybody else. I'm going to comfort more than anybody else. I'm going to command or charge more than anybody else. I'm going to be the head of the home. Father, I pray that you'd help our fathers this morning. Thank you for the father you gave me, and I look around this room and see many great examples of what we just talked about. I look around this room and see many children who, as we've already talked about, as fathers are in heaven, who had great examples set for them. I pray for our fathers this morning. Lord, it's not easy in this world today. Everywhere we go, there's those out there that want to destroy families, destroy homes. A lot of responsibility that fathers have. And Lord, more than ever before, we need Christian, godly fathers. Lord, I pray there'd be some young men here this morning that would say, Lord, I'm not even married yet. Not even an adult yet, still a teenager, still a young person, but I want to be that kind of father. I want to be the kind of father maybe they've seen in their own home. But I want to be a biblical father. What's expected of us? There's not anything special that we do. It's what's expected of us as a father doth his children. That's the way we're supposed to treat them. Lord, I'm so thankful that I was able to grow up in a home where a father treated me that way. Lord, not everybody had that. There's some this morning that didn't have that. Lord, it doesn't mean they can't do it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to be the father, the head of the home we're supposed to be for our families. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you quickly, and I know we're a little over time, so I'll get done. If you say here this morning, you say, I know I'm saved. You know, this morning obviously was not a salvation message. But you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Not because my dad saved or grandpa saved or anything else, because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you can say it this morning, just put your hand up saying, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand down. Thank you for that testimony. This is great to be able to know we're on our way to heaven. There's someone here this morning say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I tell you, it's the best place to get it done right here. You can get saved anywhere, but it's great to get saved in church. If you'd say this morning, I'm just not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Anybody at all like that, just put your hand up and say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I promise you, I won't embarrass you at all. Now, if we're saved this morning, men, what kind of fathers are we? Are we the head of the home in the areas we're supposed to be? And obviously not everybody here does this apply to, but those of you this morning, man, you had a father that's been just an example to you. Thank God for that. Here's what we'll do this morning on Father's Day. And I just think, talked about this week. I think this is the Lord's leading. I think it's what Dad would do. I'm opening the altars back up, okay? You don't have to come to the altar. And you can take care of it and see. But I want to tell you this morning, the altar is open. I tell you what our world needs. We need open altars at the church. We need to get down on our knees before God at the altar and make some decisions. And you can do that in your seat, and that's fine, and nobody has to come. But I'm going to tell you this morning, as the music plays, God spoke to your heart, and you do it in your seat, you do it where you're standing, that's fine. Or you come down to the altar if you want to, and let's use the altar God has given us in the house of God and make decisions for Him. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.